If you're seeking a place to stand in God's kingdom, consider the words of Martin Luther before the Diet of Worms in 1521. Here I stand, I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 165, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. Please be seated. Let us hear the word of God as it is written in Exodus chapter 3, the first 12 verses, and in the Gospel of Mark chapter 12, verses 26 and 27. Exodus 3 and Mark 12. First, the Old Covenant, and then the New Covenant. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and lo, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. Then he said, Do not come near. Put off your shoes from your feet, for the place on which you're standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? He said, But I will be with you, and this will be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. And as for the dead being raised, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the passage about the bush, how God said to him, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. You are quite wrong. Let us pray. O Holy One of Israel, you who made yourself known to Moses through the burning bush, and to us all through your holy child, Jesus, continue to make yourself known to us this day through the scripture we have read, through our common life together in this community of faith, and through the mysterious and sundry workings of your Spirit, to the end that our worship will be worthy of your great name, and so that all of our work will be done as unto the Lord. Through the strong and saving name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. when the burning bush experience of Exodus 3 occurs, Moses is already an old man by our standards, perhaps 80 years of age. On this particular day, he leads his flocks beyond Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb, there in the wilderness, and a strange sight catches his eyes. Up there on the side of the mountain is a cluster of acacia bushes, burning but not being consumed by the fire. Moses says to himself, I've never seen anything quite like that. I think I'll go a little closer and investigate this strange phenomenon. As Moses walked toward the burning bush, all of a sudden, out of the midst of the fire, a voice called him by name. Moses? Moses? Most of us would have taken to our heels and gotten away from that place as fast as our feet would take us. But Moses was a brave man. He managed to say, although I think somewhat timidly, here am I. The voice kept on talking to Moses and said, stop right where you are. Don't come one step closer. Take your shoes from off your feet, because the ground on which you are standing is holy. Now here's the question for us this morning. Why did God call that ground holy? So far as we know, it was plain, ordinary, common pasture land. Moses might have walked over that very spot of ground many times previously. His flocks might have grazed from that same spot of ground many times before. But something happened in this burning bush experience, or something was going to happen in the future, which caused God Himself to call this ground holy and sacred. What was it? Did God call this ground holy because of the holy history which was to transpire on it in years to come? Those of you who remember your biblical history will recall that God gave a sign to Moses that he was with him. The sign was, you will serve God on this mountain. And sure enough, when Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt, they came to this very spot of ground where he had had the burning bush experience, and camped at the foot of Mount Sinai. Moses instructed the people to prepare themselves, to cleanse themselves, to get ready. The mountain itself was roped off. And on the third day, the thunder began to roll across the heavens. The lightning began to flash its fiery fingers across the sky. A smoke ascended from Mount Sinai as though the whole mountain were on fire. Out yonder at a distance, a bugle began to blow. It waxed louder and louder and louder. And God Himself came down on Mount Sinai, met with Moses, gave him the Ten Commandments written with His own finger on two tables of stone. Is that the reason God called this ground holy? Because one day He was going to give His law to His people on this mountain? Those of you who remember well your biblical history will recall that years following this burning bush experience of Moses, God met with the fiery prophet Elijah on this very mountain where Moses had the burning bush experience. Following the great contest on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the groves, when 850 of those false prophets were slain, Jezebel, the wicked queen, sent word to Elijah that she was going to do to him what he had done to her prophets. For some reason, Elijah's courage failed him. He began to run. He ran himself almost to death. He ran nearly 100 miles and ended up in a cave on this mountain where Moses had had the burning bush experience. And the wind began to blow. It blew with such intensity, the scripture says, that the rocks began to fall into little pieces. Now that's a mighty wind, ladies and gentlemen. I hope I never see a wind like that. But the Lord was not in the wind. An earthquake came, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. A fire came down on Mount Sinai, but this time the God who is full of surprises was not in the fire. Then Elijah heard a still small voice. He recognized that voice as the voice of the Lord God. The voice said to him something like this: "Elijah, what are you doing here?" Elijah replied, "Oh Lord God, everybody else has forsaken you and gone after Baal. I'm the only one who's left who's faithful to you. And the wicked queen has sworn to kill me, and I'm ready to die if that's what you want." God said, "Elijah, you don't know everything, man. Stand on your feet. I have yet 7,000 in Israel who have not bowed their knees to Baal nor kissed him with their lips. There's work to be done. I want you to go and anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, Jehu to be king over Israel, and Elisha to be prophet in your place." Is that the reason God called this ground holy? Because on it one day he was going to meet with the fiery prophet Elijah? Or did God call this ground holy because it was the meeting place of God and persons? The scripture seems to point in that direction of interpretation also, because we're told that Moses hid his face when he heard the voice of God. He was afraid to look at God. He was overcome with awe and reverence for God and would not look at him, because God himself came down on that mountain and met with Moses face to face. There is a sense in which all ground is holy if on that ground one meets the living God. And if you have had an encounter with the living God, you can understand this line of interpretation. If you haven't, perhaps you can't. Think, for example, of Martin Luther, the young Roman Catholic priest who had trained for many months to become a priest in the church. He had gone to Erfurt, Germany, to offer his first Mass. Luther was to say this Mass from an altar that was literally covered with pure gold. His family and friends had gathered for this auspicious occasion. It was the biggest day in his life up to that point. But when the young priest came to those words which he was supposed to say, which would supposedly change the bread into the very body of Christ and the wine into the very blood of Christ, he couldn't even speak. Luther was so overcome with reverence and awe, with a sense of God's majesty, that he could not speak a word. Who are we to say that that was not holy ground for Martin Luther, who later rediscovered the truth, "The just shall live by faith," and became the great leader of the Protestant Reformation? Is that the kind of thing which God was trying to say to Moses? "Man, remove your shoes from your feet, because this is the meeting place of God and persons." Think again of John Wesley at that little Moravian prayer meeting in the middle of the week on May 24, 1738, on Aldersgate Street in London. A few people were present. One got up and began to read from the preface of Martin Luther's commentary on Paul's epistle to the Romans. And all of a sudden, John Wesley writes in his journal, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt that I did trust in Christ alone for my salvation. I felt that my sins, even mine, were forgiven. Who are we to say that that was not holy ground for John Wesley, in whose heart God built a fire which continues to warm our world through Methodism? Is that the kind of thing which God was trying to say to Moses? Remove your shoes from off your feet, because this is a meeting place of God and persons. Or did God call this ground holy because on it Moses received his true vocation in life? The context of the scripture points to that line of interpretation. In the previous chapter of Exodus, right at the end of Exodus 2, we're told that God heard the groanings of his people, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God saw the people of Israel, and God knew their condition. And God came down that burning bush, put his finger on Moses, called him by name, and said, you're the man. I want you to go and lead my people out of bondage from Egypt into the land flowing with milk and honey. There is a sense in which all ground is holy if on that ground one discovers the reason for his or her birth and receives his or her true vocation in life. For 40 years, as it were, Moses had been a playboy in the land of Egypt. But Moses was not brought into this world to be a playboy. For another 40 years, he had been a shepherd of sheep in the land of Midian. But Moses was not brought into this world to be a shepherd of sheep. Moses was born to be God's lawgiver. Moses was brought into this world to deliver God's people from bondage in Egypt. And in this burning bush experience, he discovered his true vocation in life. Perhaps we can't know just why God called this ground holy. It may involve all three of these lines of interpretation. Holy history, the meeting place of God and persons, and receiving one's true vocation in life. But there are at least two lessons we can learn from this burning bush experience. One of them is, there is such a thing as holy ground. God himself said so. And when we Christians interpret the burning bush experience in the light of the new covenant, that is to say, when we interpret the burning bush experience of Moses in the light of the life, death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and second coming of Jesus Christ, we know that all ground is potentially holy and sacred, not just one place, but every place. Not just one day, but every day. Elizabeth Barrett Browning caught this truth in verse when she wrote, earth's crowned with heaven, and every common bush afire with God. But only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest just sit around and pluck blackberries. If we could see life through the eyes of Jesus Christ, we would see that all of life is potentially holy and sacramental. The other lesson is that it isn't always easy to occupy the high and holy ground to which God calls us. It wasn't easy for Moses. In fact, he began to make excuses. He said, now you just wait a minute, God.
you have the wrong man, don't you? You see this long gray hair of mine. You see my gray beard, don't you? Have you forgotten I'm about 80 years of age? You mean you want me, an old man, to do a big job like that for you? Surely you must be mistaken. God, have you forgotten I'm a family man? I've got a wife and two boys. You don't want me to take them up and expose them to being killed by that old wicked king down in Egypt, do you? Lord, you know I'm happy as a shepherd. I put down deep roots here. Lord, have you forgotten? Look at these hands. They're stained with that man's blood. Don't you remember? I killed that Egyptian soldier and buried his body in the sand on the beach. You mean you want me, a murderer, to do a big job like that for you? Surely, God, you're mistaken. I'm no public speaker. Lord, when I stand up, my voice sits down. I'm not eloquent. I'm a southerner. I'm slow of speech. And on he went with his excuses to God. And we know every one of them because we've made them ourselves and added some to the catalog. But once again, this day, the day of our Lord, March 7, 1989, the Lord God of Israel, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, comes to each one of us in our own burning bush experience, calls us by name, puts his finger on us and says, hey, I've got a job for you to do. Are we going to keep on making excuses to God? Oh, God, you know, this is a terrible time to be a Christian. God, you don't understand the situation that I'm up against. I'm too young. I'm just out of college. I don't have enough experience. I don't know Greek or Hebrew. I don't know this. God, surely you're mistaken. Will we keep on making excuses to God? Or will we stand on our feet, take our shoes off our feet, and realize that we're standing on holy ground and that the Lord God who calls us will equip us to do whatever he calls us to do? Let us pray. Lord, give to us a burning bush experience this morning. Help us to realize that we are standing on holy ground, that every inch of ground is potentially holy and sacred, and that every day is a holy day with you. Give us a sense of your holiness, and may we leave this place with the glow of fire upon our faces. Through Christ the Lord we pray. Amen. Thank you.